Now let's take a quick look at the men's tournament, Nick, since we are talking about that and just how terrible, and it's not even something against North Carolina itself, but for your AD to be the chairman of the selection committee and that to be the last team in, and there to be no real reason for them to get in other than you're friends with everyone on the committee and you're all sitting there, and I get it, it's human nature. But North Carolina, last team in. Your one seeds, Auburn, Duke, Houston, and Florida. Some places of note for me, that Houston game in Wichita, because they are hosting outright 16 seed SIUE. Speaking of outright seeds and not playing in Dayton, Omaha had to wait all the way to be the last team named. And they get St. John's, who just beat Creighton in the Big East championship game. Kansas and Arkansas also there. How's about that group of coaches that is down there for that pod?
Yeah, that's a monster, absolute monster side of it. And you think about it, when that side of the bracket was announced, the Wichita Chamber of Commerce had to be dancing jig. My gosh, the economic boom that you are going to have with that field alone, and seeing what types of teams are going to be there, and the fan bases too, and the travel and everything. I think that is huge. You mentioned Creighton, by the way. That draw that they got, holy smokes, Louisville, that might be one of the best 8-9 matchups that I think we have had a chance to see in a very, very long time, given the way that those two teams have played in stretches of this season, and Creighton going all the way to the Big East championship game and losing to an absolute red-hot St. John's team. Yeah, Omaha, I love what Chris Crutchfield has done. I love that they have had the season that they've had, both regular season and tournament champions. That is a brutal draw for them. But you get Creighton falling short to one of the hottest teams in America right now in St. John's, and one of the greatest turnarounds that we've seen under Rick Pitino. But also Louisville, we all got a chance to watch them and Chucky Hepburn and the way that they played all the way to the ACC championship game too. Like, there is that 8-9. Whoever wins that, Auburn has got to be concerned, because those are two teams that are more than capable of not only playing in the second weekend, but possibly getting to the Elite Eight. So that 8-9 matchup was a monster of a matchup. But yes, there. Real quickly, I want to bring up the North Carolina thing.
Yeah,
and this goes back to, if you remember when the Yahoo Sports report came out about the FBI and the Adidas scandal. And remember, we were told college basketball as we knew it was going to look so different, because so many blue bloods were dirty in this process, and they were not going to, we're talking about racketeering, we're talking about wiretaps, we're talking about laws, not college basketball guidelines, but actual federal laws that were allegedly broken, and that it didn't matter who you were, you were not above the law. And if you were caught with your hand in the cookie jar on this thing, then you were going to be dealt with. I thought it was laughable. And I thought, for one reason, because there are certain programs that when they have the spotlight on them, the NCAA makes buku bucks. Remember the threat against Kansas. Oh, Kansas did this. Kansas did that. Oh, my gosh, Kansas is one of the biggest when it comes to these atrocities. Kansas might get whatever college basketball's version of the death penalty is. Louisville, we saw what happened to their program, and they suffered for a little bit. They're back, but they suffered. It's interesting, though, with all of the stuff they supposedly had on Kansas, that nothing ever really happened at all. Because, and I know you're like, okay, well, what's your point with North Carolina? There are certain programs that if you can keep them in the tournament, it is essential for the revenue stream and the eyeballs. There are just certain teams that it doesn't feel the same in the NCAA tournament if they are not present. And I'm not trying to say North Carolina was in trouble this year, but their season was not a good one. There is nothing about North Carolina that I would say, ooh, yeah, boy, I'm going to pencil them in to make a deep run. If you have a chance to put North Carolina compared to a couple other teams, maybe a Boise State or somebody else, and you're thinking, what makes more sense from a viewership standpoint? It's a no-brainer. North Carolina, they're a blue blood. So these decisions, I know it angers a lot of people, but go back to that whole FBI thing. There are certain programs that were dealt with differently. And I'm telling you, Kansas might have did way worse things than we even know about. But they weren't going to get banned from the postseason because that's not good business for the NCAA. Just like North Carolina, if you have an avenue and could possibly nudge them in, you probably should do it because that makes good business sense for the NCAA. And isn't that what college athletics is right now?
Well, and that's the exact reason, as you look at all of the conversations around expansion of the NCAA tournament, that's who's going to get in. You're not going to get more of the Boise States in. You're not going to get more of these other programs that feel just as deserving, though they didn't play in a power conference and lose a bunch of games. Right. I get it. For Nebraska, you lost a bunch of games, and you finished outside of the bubble, and there was a chance that, say, two more wins, and Nebraska's probably in, comparing that resume with North Carolina.
Right.
So that's where you're at. But that's why I don't want expansion. If there's a way for a North Carolina team like that to sneak in this year, I don't want more of that with eight other potential teams, eight other opportunities for teams to get in. Back to this bracket. Yeah, I think, man, Creighton got hosed with who fell to that eight line.
I agree.
That is very rough for them. And that's we talked about it with the women's side. Louisville, by the way, favored by 2.5 on ESPN. We talked about it on the women's side, how much of it is matchup dependent. That's a rough one to get out the gate and then to potentially have Auburn waiting for you in the second round. That's South region as a whole. And I want to go through and make our picks on Thursday. So we'll have a couple of days. We'll get through the play-ins, and it'll be the full madness is beginning on Thursday. But that South region, when it was getting announced first, is friggin' loaded, Nick, because you don't have just Auburn, Louisville, Creighton right there, Michigan, UC San Diego, Texas A&M, who's stupid athletic, Yale has a potential to do a little Cinderella dancing.
Yep.
There's a 13 there. And then you get Ole Miss, Iowa State, Lipscomb, Marquette, New Mexico, Michigan State as the two in that region, and Bryant. And so you look at who is in that region. If you're Auburn as that overall number one seed, I don't think you got any favors.
No, and exactly what we were just talking about with the 8-9. I mean, that second matchup, assuming Auburn gets through and out of that play-in 16 seed game, which I'll go ahead and make a bold prediction that they do. I dependent on how that, I don't even know to me if it matters who wins out of Louisville Creighton. That is going to be a tough selection for me because you're looking at two teams that most people have picked as dark horses to, if there is a low seed to knock on the door of making the Final Four. It's between Louisville and Creighton, and they just so happen to be playing each other. It's not like, oh, one's a nine on this in this region and one's a nine in the other region. So that one's difficult. Look at the way Michigan's playing right now. You know, so there is a lot of jumbling of this side of the bracket that could take place. You mentioned the athleticism. I was watching Yale play just the other night in their conference tournament, and weird, they make a lot of threes, but they also do have some athleticism too. So it's a fun side of it. And then, you know, I was talking about the Wichita side of this too, and you know, seeing certain programs that are in there. I mean, I look at another team that seems to be sort of lying in the weeds right now. I don't know if they're getting talked about as much as I think they should be, but Iowa State, and a program that, you know, we've seen it here in Omaha. I'm not here in Omaha, but when I'm in Omaha, we saw it in Omaha, the way that Iowa State and that fan base travels people when they go to the Big 12 tournament and they go to Kansas City and they see the amount of maroon and gold out there too. You know, this is another fan base that feels really good about this basketball program and what they can do. So I look at a lot of the different teams in here, and you can make compelling cases about them. Now, there are some teams that, you know, even Michigan State, I know the whole, well, you can't ever count out a Tom Izzo team. And this is a much better Michigan State team than we've seen in the last handful of years. But I look at between Michigan State being on that side of it, but Michigan as well, I would fear Michigan right now more than I would even Michigan State. There are just really interesting cases to be made for probably 7 or 8 teams in that region alone. And the number one seed is probably not getting as much conversation as the teams that it eventually could be up against.
Right. Elsewhere, looking at things of interest, Drake draws Missouri. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting one because of the bordering states, and they're just headed to Wichita. So that's not a very long drive. And, mm-hmm. and when you have, for the folks in Des Moines, they are passionate.
Yeah.
They are passionate about their program. Not to say that the Mizzou fans aren't, but that is an easy drive to go pack Wichita. Wichita got a good draw of teams as well. Elsewhere, you've got Gonzaga as an 8 seed and potentially a second round matchup with Houston, and Gonzaga has made a whole bunch of Sweet 6 teams, so there's something to potentially run in there for Big 10 teams, because we haven't quite run those down. You have got Michigan, UC San Diego, Michigan State taking on Bryant. Those are in the South region. In the West region, Maryland gets Grand Canyon, and then you move on to the Midwest, where Purdue gets High Point. Illinois will take on the winner of one of the play-in games, and I don't have that pulled up in front of me as I go through ESPN, which is apparently harder to navigate than I thought it would be. Wisconsin against Montana, Oregon against Liberty in the East, and I think there's a Big Ten team in one of the play-in games as well.
Yeah, and there's some other teams that I'm kind of keeping my eye on as far as what their draw was to, and as far as the higher seeds go. Now we did bring up, I think if you're going back to the Wichita part of it, you were hoping that maybe you could get Arkansas and Kansas in your own backyard. That didn't happen. I know at one point that was projected to potentially happen. Then I also saw a projection that would have been pretty funny for 2 years straight, that Trev Alberts would have the day of awkwardness, that his Texas A&M Aggies could be pitted with Omaha, but they fell a little bit in the seed line. The other team that kind of intrigues me, and we'll see them on Thursday too, from a higher seed standpoint, is what truly is the ceiling for Tennessee? I mean, the SEC has been so loaded, and what they have been able to produce as far as the depth that we typically see in, I would say, the Big 12 and even at times in the Big 10. But Tennessee, I think they're an interesting case. I don't know if I'm ready to say, hey, you know, Tennessee's a team that I think is a national championship contender, but they're a team that when you kind of look at all of their, just the way everything stacks up for them, and between Chaz Lanier and what they have with Ziegler, to me, could be one of those real sexy number twos, that just the way the field stacks up for them, Tennessee is a team that I want to see how they navigate, especially in those first two, assuming that they make the second weekend, because I do think that that's a team that maybe as a two, there's a little bit of less conversation on, a team that I do think is pretty damn good, especially in the middle of the season. They look the part. I just feel like there's been maybe less talk about them.
I was hoping when it got to Tennessee as the two, and you could tell that Omaha had moved off of the 16 line.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted the Omaha-Tennessee matchup just so we could get a full week of, well, we're from Nebraska, but we're not going to cancel our Tennessee game. I just thought it would have been brilliant for the memes. It would have been brilliant for the jokes all week.
I see what you see. It all comes back to football, doesn't it? It all comes back right there.
It does. Okay. On Thursday, we will make our complete picks go through. Obviously, we won't go through game by game, but we'll go through and make our picks on Thursday. If you had to pick a champion today, just from looking at the bracket, looking at the paths, who would you pick as that first reaction Monday morning going to win it all?
I love the way Houston's playing right now. I truly do. And the 2-1 seeds that I really like right now, and assuming that that Flag is playing, and we know that he was a long shot to play there in the ACC tournament, I still think the most talented teams right now are Duke and I would say Houston. Houston, I think, they have a little bit more of a difficult task of getting to the Final Four compared to Duke. But right now, I'm going to say, as far as the team that impresses me the most and the way that, given the way that they're playing right now, I'm going to say Houston.
Yeah, I like Houston. I like that Houston pick. I'm sorry to my SIUE Cougars that's a rough first draw. But you're in the tournament, and that's all that matters.
Yes,
I like, if Cooper Flag is healthy, I like Duke right now. And I know yes, we both just looked at a couple of one seeds, but that's the reason they're one seeds. They're going to be favored. They've got decent draws. There's a reason that neither of us is picking Auburn right away,
right?
Because of the draw that they got through their bracket.